الحمد لله رب العالمين الذي فرض علينا صيام رمضان وسن لنا فيه القيام للمغفرة ودخول الجنة بسلام. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ذو الفضل والإكرام، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا وشفيعنا ووسيلتنا محمد وعلى آله وأزواجه وذرياته وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم. وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite and abundant praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bestower of mercy, guidance, forgiveness. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble, most beloved, most prestigious, most honorable and elevated Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, and upon his righteous and purified family, and upon the companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have been blessed with another day of Jumu'ah in which we gather to purify our intentions and purify our souls, and also to seek guidance and salvation and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions and efforts, and make this day, make this gathering, make this moment, make this month of Ramadan a means for our success and salvation and protection in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom, has designed our days for us. Because if it was left to insan, they would very much just waste their day away. And you just need to ask a person who doesn't have a job, doesn't have any errands to do on a regular basis, they just sit around and they become a couch potato, wandering from here and there. So it is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has guided us, and He has given us these parameters and these guidelines on how to operate and function on a daily basis by giving us our 5 daily salahs. This is the time you need to wake up. This is the time you need to remember and break up in the middle of your day and perhaps also have lunch. This is the time you need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the afternoon, and then also post sunset in the middle of the night before you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, the Jumu'ah is centralized for that all of the days point towards this sacred and most blessed day where everybody is gearing towards and looking towards the day of gathering, that same day which will be a replication on the day of Qiyamah, where we will all be gathered on the day of judgment. And also the month has been divided for us for this optional fast of every Monday and every Thursday, and every 13th, 14th and 15th of the month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is how you need to divide your time and your effort and your energies during the day, during the night, during the week, and also during the month, and also throughout the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this plan to look forward towards Hajj, to look forward towards Muharram, look forward towards Rabi'ul Awwal, the blessed arrival of the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam, look forward towards the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan, Shawwal, and all of the various other Islamic events that take place throughout the year. So therefore, if a Muslim is truly sincere, he'll be constantly engaged in the remembrance and the zikr and the fakr and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis. He's constantly being surrounded by the plan and the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is no exception to this particular rule of Allah Almighty, for He has portioned 10 days of mercy for us. He has portioned 10 days of forgiveness for us. And similarly, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to seek the salvation and the deliverance from the fire of hell. عِتْقٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ. So as these last final 10 days approach us, it's very, very important for us to reflect on how much we have been living our lives according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or do we willy-nilly always just solely follow our own plan and fit in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of the other events that are supposed to be there on a regular basis? So it is important that we reflect and maximize the upcoming days and correctly seal our intentions and also our deeds. For the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. We all know that hadith very, very well, that their actions depend upon their intentions. And similarly, in another hadith, he mentions that the seal of actions are also very, very important. Because if you have a bag and you continue to put money in the top of the bag, but the bottom is not sealed, then you will not be accumulating your wealth. You'll be wasting away that wealth. Similarly, even though we may have begun the month of Ramadan with the best and most sincere and purest of intentions, if we do not seal the month of Ramadan with the zikr and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with reflection and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of those efforts potentially can be wasted away. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a few key points which I will share with you today. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم. That these are the descriptions of certain elite people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we're trying to become in the month of Ramadan. Transform ourselves from the ordinary to become the extraordinary, to become the elite, to become elevated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do you particularly achieve that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these people, these elite people, these extraordinary people, they used to sleep but little of the night. And this is something that we try to achieve during Ramadan. We are up throughout the day and also we're up throughout the night, mostly in Isha and Taraweeh and in Tahajjud hopefully and Nawafil and then for Sahri, and then most of the night we are awake in the zikr and the shukr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hours just before dawn. And then they would seek what? These people would be seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from their wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, they give that in the way of Allah Almighty to those people who are needy, to those people who are faqir and miskeen, the orphans, the widows, and all of those people who are deprived and eligible for your charity, for your sadaqah, for your khairat. So these are the three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this particular verse, which are very, very pertinent to us in the month of Ramadan, because we try to re-establish and establish these principles within the days and nights of Ramadan. So praying at night and then seeking the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially before dawn. Because this is when the mercy and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon the lowest of heavens. And then giving to the needy, and this is what we try to achieve during Ramadan. Give abundantly and excessively. Not stingily and miserly, bache kuche paise that we have and the chain that we have. No, we give abundantly without even thinking, without even checking what's in our hand. We pull it out and we give it as much as we can in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these three particular acts, these deeds, they bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enable us to achieve that spiritual and that physical transformation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve during the Ramadan. So as we approach the last 10 days of Ramadan, which will begin on Sunday, it's important for us to make sure that this is the final section, this is the final lap, and it's make sure that we push ourselves to the best of our abilities. And quote unquote, this is the end game, this is towards the end. Who knows? Because many people began with us in the month of Ramadan and they are no longer with us. We have performed so many janazah so far in the month of Ramadan. Many people who were with us last year are no longer with us here today. So we don't know when our end game will be essentially. You could die tomorrow, you could die leaving this masjid. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. But what you need to do is push yourself and excel and make sure you make it count. because this could potentially be your end game. So the first thing that you need to establish is your prayer. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. That prayer is the core of our deen. This is the absolute quintessential aspect of our deen which distinguishes us from all other nations. And we need to make sure that as we are being excessively praying in the month of Ramadan, this is something that we need to continue outside the month of Ramadan as well. So prayer and fasting and the Quran are all inextricably linked in the month of Ramadan. And these are the messages that are repeated again and again throughout the month of Ramadan. And therefore we must continue to strive the way we are doing today and now outside of the month of Ramadan if we truly want to achieve the proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second thing, which is seeking something. We are all seeking purpose, we are all seeking meaning, we are all seeking a goal, a destination, we're seeking the rida, the contentment, the happiness, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But seeking requires effort and energy and requires sacrifice. And the way that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in seclusion. And this is why he used to go to the mountain and just be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be away from all of the worldly distractions. So seclusion is also a very, very important aspect of our deen. And it's not something that we do throughout the year. We specifically and wholeheartedly try to seclude ourselves during the last 10 days of Ramadan. So as i'tikaf approaches us, whether you can do 1 day or 3 days or 5 days or 7 or 9 or the entire 10 days or nights rather, it's important that you make that intention and you seclude yourself from everything. And if you can't do that due to your responsibilities and your duties, then at least within your home, seclude yourself from your family members, at least for a portion of the night, and just be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only when you are away from the hustle and the bustle and the chaos of family, of children, of responsibility, of work and food and all of these things, only and only then can you truly connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you have that intimacy, you have that quietness around you, you have the ability to think and reflect, you have the ability to hear your own heartbeat, you have the ability to hear the whispers, you have the ability to connect with your soul and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in deep contemplation and supplication. So this is the time and opportunity as individuals within your home, at least, if not, come to the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and actively seclude yourself from all of the other things in the dunya and get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within this we also have the dua. Because when you're secluding yourself, you are doing something. You are constantly praying and supplicating and attempting to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is important is that when we do a dua, we have to be sincere in our dua. Do you know when your child does something wrong? Often, you know this. They'll say sorry. And they'll say sorry again and again and 100 times. And you know they're not sorry. They're just, you know, playing you. And do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware? I mean, we can be fools, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never be that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how sincere and how honest we are and the veracity of our statements. So when you are doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're doing tawbah, when you're doing istighfar, you must be true and sincere in your apology, in your repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the example is very simple. Imagine there is a judge. And you are a criminal, because we all are criminals, because we commit sins on a regular basis. So the judge says to you, well, if you admit your guilt, PC Farooq Sahib is there, and if you admit your guilt, and then I will forgive you for your sins, and then as long as you don't go back onto that particular path. So admit what you have done, be sincere in your repentance and apologize, and never return back to that, and I will forgive you for whatever you may have done. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. But the condition is, be sincere, be true, be truly apologetic, and keep away from that particular sin that you have done. And then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is all encompassing, and He will forgive you for all of your transgressions. He will forgive you for all of the things that you may have done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that judge. And He is giving us this get out of jail card, essentially, that this is all what you need to do. But we can, you know, delude ourselves sometimes by just saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, but not really meaning it on the inside. And just saying Astaghfirullah, but still continuing to do that particular sin. So internally, or externally rather, in the month of Ramadan, we can say Astaghfirullah, but how much of that Astaghfirullah, and that Tawbah, and that Istighfar, are we saying that internally? Is your heart moving with that Tawbah and Istighfar? Is your soul moving when you're saying that Tawbah and Istighfar? Or will it be business as usual post Ramadan, because everything's chained up and trying to be, you know, good boys during Ramadan and good girls during Ramadan, but after Ramadan that's it, back to Wimsler Road and back to shisha bars and back to cars and revving and all that thing? Is that how sincere you were? Because when you go back to that same judge, he'll say, wait a minute, you just said you'll never do this again, and here you are again doing that same thing. With what face will you go? And then how can you expect the same amount of clemency and leniency and forgiveness from that same judge? That's what a normal person would do. But see, this is what we're trying to joke ourselves and play around with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But reality is, you have to be sincere in your dua and your tawbah. And a great shuyukh of Islam, he mentions that whoever repents verbally whilst in his heart he is still insistent upon that sin, and his intention is to return back to it after Ramadan, then his fasting has been rejected and the doors of acceptance have been closed on his face. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in your heart. You know, we can sometimes fool our parents, our family, our teachers, our colleagues, our neighbors into believing we are sincere and great people and honest people and people of integrity and uprightness. All of these things we can do that, but internally we know how much hypocrisy that we have. But we can't do that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your tawbah, your dua, your apology must be sincere. Otherwise it will be rejected, and all of the things that you are working towards and asking and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have His mercy upon you, to forgive you, to give you salvation and deliverance from the fire of hell, all of that will be rejected and you'll be closed off from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this month in which we ate and we slept and socialized, everything that we normally do, our norms were flipped upside down. Our sleeping patterns, our eating patterns, our ibadat, our meeting, greeting, our social life, all types of our actions were flipped upside down. But you ask the question, why? Why? Normally if somebody tells you, meet me at 11 o'clock and you have work in the morning, you say, Pagale, you think I'm going to meet you at 11 o'clock? Or meet me at 1 o'clock in the morning and we'll go out for a meal? You think, are you mental? Are you insane? I need to get up, I have school, I have children, I have all of these duties. You wouldn't do that for people. But we do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy with us. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us, to shower us with His mercy. We do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you are doing it in the month of Ramadan, then how can you not continue to do that outside the month of Ramadan? Yes, you don't have the Taraweeh. Yes, you may not necessarily perform the Tahajjud, but you can still establish your 5 daily salahs. You can still continue with your Qur'an, with your Zikr, with your Azkar, with your Tawbah, with your Sadaqat and Khairat. He's the same Lord. He's the same merciful Rahman and Rahim that you listen to and you change your entire life for Him in the month of Ramadan, your days and your nights. And then how can you just ignore Him outside the month of Ramadan? How can you be sincere in your claim for love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that these are the people that He loves. Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muttaqeen, the pious, the righteous, those people who have taqwa, those who are conscious, those who are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our awareness increases exponentially during the month and nights of Ramadan. So how can we still not be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ahkamat outside the month of Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the muhsineen, those people who excel, those people who push themselves towards goodness, towards betterment, towards khair, towards excellence in their actions and in their deeds, in your devotion and concentration. You're pushing yourself constantly during the days and nights of Ramadan. So how can we not continue to do that outside of Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is not restricted and is not limited to the month of Ramadan for you. It is there all throughout the year, throughout your life. And therefore you must seek that God conscientiousness. You must continue to strive for that excellence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the mutawakkilin, those people who who rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the inner strength to be standing up for 1 or 2 hours during the nights of Ramadan. In Taraweeh, in Tahajjud, He gives you the strength to perform Sahri and Iftari and continue throughout your day. The strength to control your zaban, your emotions, your feelings. All of these things we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And often when you want something and out of nowhere somebody knocks on your door and says, here's some iftari for you, and you've been expecting that or wanting something like that, this is when you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. But whosoever relies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am sufficient for that person. You know, when we go to one person, Pakistani, we come, Karana, you know, you have to go to the Batwari, and you have to go to this Munshi, and you have to go to this person and that person. Then you get your job done. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you don't need to go to all of these people. You don't need to rely upon all of these things. Come to me, turn to me, rely upon me, and I will open all of the doors for you. Rizq, I will provide for you. Provision, success, money, wealth, izzat, honor, everything, I will give it to you. Zara, I will say, come to me, turn to me. So, and at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who keep turning. Tawab means to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are turning to Him constantly in tawbah, in istighfar. Those people who are purifying themselves. And this is what we try to achieve in the month of Ramadan. Physical purity by performing the ghusl. Physical purity by doing the wudu. In our salah. Spiritual purity with our zaban, with our soul, with our fasting and our qiyam and our du'as. All of these things are about achieving that purity which will enable us to once again re-enter into the gardens of paradise. So all of those things are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I love these people. I love these characteristics about those individuals. And these are some of the things that we hopefully achieve or attempt to achieve during Ramadan. So how can we not continue with it post-Ramadan is a question. And once Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam whilst he was ascended on the minbar. And as he rose, he said, Ameen. And you know this mashur hadith is very well known. He said, Ameen once. And then he said, Ameen again. And he said, Ameen a third time. And the Sahaba Ikram questioned, why did you say Ameen Ya Rasulullah three times? And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in brief, he explained that whoever lives to experience the month of Ramadan, but does not have his sins forgiven, and enters the fire of hell, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distance him. Allah ta'ala gave him this month of rahmah, of maghfirah, of itkum min al-nar, gave this month of the Qur'an and hidayah, of nur, of Islam, of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, gave him everything that he would need, and in spite of that, he did not achieve his objective and goal of taqwa, of tahara, of purification. Then he will only receive the fire of hell, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distance him from his rahmah. And the second one was that person who has parents, who has one parent or two parents, and he's unable, and he does not take care of them, does not provide for them, does not show his respect and show his duty to them, then he will also go to the fire hell, because they are a direct means to the rida, the contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore a means for you to enter into the gardens of paradise. And the third one was whenever your name, Ya Rasulullah, is mentioned, and they do not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person also is the most despicable on earth. That person is away from the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that person will also go to hell, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distance himself from that particular individual. So the month of Ramadan, the month of khair, the month of barakah, the month of tahara, the month of the Quran, the month of hidayah, the month of dua, the month of everything that we need is here. So how can we still not achieve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve in terms of that spiritual, that physical, that mental purification and transformation in our life? So these are some of the things that we need to really, really ask ourselves during the month of Ramadan. That first, that prayer, and how do we establish that prayer, especially during the night. And also, giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making sure that you do istighfar, but sincerely from the depths of your heart. And the third aspect which we discussed at the beginning of the khutbah, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم. That giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the orphan, to the needy, to the destitute, to the widow, to the refugees, to the asylum seekers, to all of those people who are in need of your aid, of your assistance. It can be your experience, it can be your advice, it can be your guidance, it can be your help, it can be your wealth, it can be your smile, it can be your deen, it can be your akhlaq, it can be anything that you have to give. Give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be part of that elite people, those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and those people who will be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. And this is why at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse that I share with you, mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That, O you who have believed, bow and prostrate sincerely and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do good and do khair so that you may succeed. And this is the month that enables us to achieve all of these objectives, and very easy for us to achieve that goal of purification of tahara, of ruku, of sujood, of dua, of istighfar, of giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you do that and achieve those three things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, this is my person, this is my banda, he's actually achieved the things that I gave him to achieve the objectives and the goals in the month of Ramadan, and therefore he is worthy of re-entering into the gardens of paradise. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to really push ourselves and excel in the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan, and treat it as it is our end game, because we don't know whether we'll be alive today or tomorrow, or where will we see another month of Ramadan in our lifetime.